this morning. We're turning in our Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis and the chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. We're continuing in this series, the life of Abraham. And today we come to consider this title, Decisions. Chapter 13 of the book of Genesis. And we're going to take time this morning to read the whole chapter, and we'll consider the whole chapter together. Decisions. Genesis chapter 13, and the verse number 1. And this is the word of the Lord, and it reads, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, and that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. And the men of Sodom were wicked, and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee. And Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. We trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word to each of our hearts this morning. This is a chapter that's filled with decisions. And there are good decisions made in this chapter, and there are also bad decisions made in this chapter. And in your life and in my life, we will be called to make many decisions. And the choices that you and I make will determine so much about us. Our choices determine if we marry, and that takes us down a particular path. Who we marry, that takes us down another path. The choices we determine, the choices we make will determine where we live and what we do, and that takes us down a path. The choices that we determine will decide where we attend the local church, what we believe and what influences brought to bear upon our lives, who our friends are. And of course, ultimately, one choice in particular will determine where we spend eternity. And so, as we approach this chapter this morning, we'll find that the decisions made in this chapter are very different by two different characters, and it leads them to two very different places. The choices we make define us and direct us and determine everything about our lives. So we must learn to choose wisely. And we must seek to choose with spiritual insight and discernment. So how are we to do that? Well, we choose not to make our decisions by our own understanding. If we seek to do things our own way, by our own knowledge, we'll make poor decisions. But instead, really, the verses that could be stamped over Genesis chapter 13, if you were able to take a stamp and put it on it, it would be Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And so we come to this chapter and we consider this title, Decisions. Decisions. I want you to notice firstly from this chapter the marks of a spiritual man. The marks of a spiritual man. Look at verse 1. It says, and Abram went up out of Egypt. Now it doesn't take long for the decisions to start happening in this chapter. This is the first decision, the first choice that we read of. And Abram went up out of Egypt. Now I want you to notice that the separation here. Abram has learnt his lesson in Egypt. We're told that he went up out of Egypt. Now, of course, this is in a physical sense. On the map, they're now leaving Egypt. They're travelling southwest and they're going back up into the Middle East, into the land where God had told them to be. But I think that Moses, who writes this under the inspiration of the Spirit, I like the way he writes this. When they had spent time in Egypt, Abram, he had had this downward spiral spiritually. But I think Moses also, the way he writes this, is saying now he's returning home and he's coming back to the Lord and he's returning to the Lord. And Abram went up out of Egypt. And can I say that each and every one of us, we are all prone to fall, as Abram did in Egypt. But praise God, here in the school of faith, as we look at the life of Abraham, when faith failed, he knew that he needed to separate himself from where he fell in sin. And he got himself away from the place and the things that caused his faith to fail in the first place. He got out of there. He gets out of Egypt. And I'll tell you, that's a mark of a spiritual man. He makes a good choice. And again today, we need to bring the truths of these verses that are before us, we need to bring them to bear on our own hearts. I wonder, is there some Egypt that you need to get out of? I wonder, is there some sinful activity, something sinful that you watch and no one else knows about it, something sinful that you read, or maybe you, it's some activity that you know you shouldn't be involved in as a Christian. And maybe even the Spirit of God pricks your heart as we read his word today. And maybe right now the Spirit of God brings something to mind. Can I ask you, are you going to let God reign in your life? Or are you going to just continue living for that sin? Maybe you need to separate yourself from worldly influences. I'll tell you, the first thing that marked Abram as a spiritual man was his desire to get away from it. We're to separate ourselves from those who live in the world and who are involved in worldly things. Paul teaches in Corinthians, wherefore, come out from among them, he writes, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And listen, folks, he didn't just get himself out of there. Once he realized his mistake, he got his whole family out of there. Look at the rest of verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. He got the whole family out. Now look at verses 2 and 3. It tells us here, and Abram was rich in cattle and silver and gold. And on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where he had been at the beginning, he went to Bethel and Ai. Now, I think we need to make a quick comment on verse 2. And I want to make this really quite clear this morning. It says here at the beginning of verse 2, and Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And we need to make this clear. It's not a sin to have money, but it's a sin for money to have you. It's not a sin to have possessions, but it's a sin for your possessions to have you. The sin is not having the possessions. The sin is when the possessions have control of you. Abram was very rich. And really, Abram handles his possessions very well because they haven't come between him and his God. And verse 3 tells us he's returning to the place where God originally led him to. And this is the place that you and I need to get to as well. Our steps may have taken us to Egypt, but praise God today that through the cross, it's only one step to have restored fellowship with the Lord. For the child of God who's gone astray, we read in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's significant to note in verse 3 that he went even to Bethel. Of course, Bethel meaning house of God, that's where he returned. Now here we are in the house of God today. You may be physically here, but I wonder spiritually, are you here? Or is your heart far away somewhere else? Now there's something else, there's another mark of a spiritual man that we see here, and it's sacrifice. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, he went on to the place of the altar which he had made there at Bethel. At the first, and there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. In other words, there was a sacrifice there. He returns to the original altar. He worships the name of the Lord as he returns. And that likely would have been a burnt offering, which was an offering that would have spoke about full dedication to the Lord, as that smoke would have rose up to heaven, and it's full dedication. There would have been sacrifice. That's what's implied here. There was bloodshed. And the picture of the blood it was a picture of the blood that would flow many years later at Calvary, that blood that cleanses from all sin. And Abram comes back to this place for a fresh start. We've heard those words so many times through our journey through Genesis, a fresh start. I don't know about you, but as I think about the amount of times that God has graciously given humanity fresh opportunities to live for him, even in these early books of the Bible, you and I get the sense that God is so gracious towards us. And his grace is beyond our comparison. We can't even understand it. We can't comprehend it. And in our own journey as believers, we will all feel God. And we'll all let the Lord down. And while that doesn't affect our relationship with the Lord, our fellowship can be marred. But can I say to you, the child of God this morning, don't let past mistakes plague you and prevent you from living for the Lord now. If you have come to the Lord and repented through the cross, he is faithful and just to forgive you. And just you lean and trust upon that promise. There are too many believers today who are plagued by past mistakes, and you've already come to the Lord and you've repented of them, and the devil almost uses those to paralyze people from working and walking with the Lord today. May the Lord grant to each of us the attitude of Paul, who wrote in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, now listen to what he says, forgetting what is behind. There's sin behind. I've confessed it. I've left it with the Lord. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Folks, if you have confessed and you've come back to the Lord, if you've fallen into sin and you've come back to the Lord, don't let that sin paralyze you from working for the Lord today. There's too many people like that. May God grant to each of us the empowerment from the Spirit of God to press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, that we would continue to lay our lives down and sacrifice for the Lord. We thought of the marks of a spiritual man, but what about the mind of a spiritual man? You see, in the next verses, here comes another choice decision for Abraham in this passage, because there are worrying circumstances that arise here in these verses. Look at the next verses here. Abraham, his mind needs to make a big decision. Genesis 13 here in verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. These are worrying circumstances. So God has granted common grace to Abram and Lot. They're both very wealthy. They both have flocks and lots of them, and herds of animals, and herdsmen who are looking after those animals, and the land can't sustain them. And we're told that at the beginning of verse 6, they couldn't sustain them. And then what happens is there's conflict between Abram's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. Now here's a decision that needs to be made, because there's strife. And there's some really practical things that we can learn from this. Firstly, there's no strife like family strife. This involves Abram and Lot. And families know each other best. And family is permanent. And at times sensitive and at times vulnerable. And some wider family members will know how to rub us up the wrong way. In fact, sometimes it can be immediate family members. But in the case of our passage today, it's the wider family. I heard it described like this. It starts off like a wee pebble in your shoe. At first you hardly notice it, but it rubs and rubs and rubs until it becomes a problem. And strife does arise in families. That's a reality. And let's be real here this morning. There's too many people who try to portray big happy family. But when you peel back the layers, often it doesn't take long to find the conflicts. And what we must remember is how we deal with these conflicts is important, because unsaved family members are watching. There's no tension like family tension, but as believers, we must be those in the family who are the peacemakers. And that means sometimes we need to leave our conflict at the door and consider the interests of others as more important than our own. Sometimes that means being willing to be quiet at times and to withhold what you easily could have said. And in the case of Abram and Lot, you can throw in the fact that they're both extremely rich. And riches can be a curse too. So we have two problems. There's money and family, and they're all mixed together. And you know, where there's a will, there's a relative waiting for it. But one thing I will say about family conflict: it may be started by two people, but that problem between two people will affect the entire family. So how will you deal with it? What decision is made well? The mind of a spiritual man will treat his weaker brother well. And here we find in verse 8, Abram says to Lot, "Let there be no strife." Let's not have this strife. "I pray thee, but don't let there be strife between me and you, and between my herdmen and your herdmen, for we are brethren, we're brothers. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate yourself, I pray thee, from me. If you go left, I'll go right. If you go right, I'll go left," he says. He's dealing with the conflict. Now, Abram could have very easily have turned to Lot and said, "Hey, God spoke to me, not you. God called me from Ur, not you. I've heard the voice of God. I'm a channel through whom God has spoken. So you need to follow my direction." That's not what he does. Or he could have pulled the older family member card and said, "Little nephew, you need to follow my direction. I'm going to go this way. You take the leftovers." But Abram has learned great lessons in Egypt. In Genesis chapter 12, when Abram is down in Egypt, he had thought of himself first there. You remember, he threw his wife under the bus and he said, "Well, you just go and you lie a little bit and they'll take you into Pharaoh and you're going to be in a compromised position." But he had thought of himself and he threw his wife under the bus. But the lessons were learnt there in Egypt. And here is Abraham now in chapter 13. He had learnt from past sin. And now it's no longer Abraham first, but he's putting others before himself. Can I say that faith is strengthened in the storms of life and not the successes of life? Last week we considered when our faith fails. And I wonder what Egypt have you been through, and maybe you fell to temptation. I wonder, dear Christian, did you learn the lessons from past sin, from that past storm? Does it inform how you live for God today? Has it humbled you the way Abraham has now humbled? Do you recognize your need of the Lord today more than ever before? I want you to notice, thirdly, this morning, we find the move of a backsliding man in this passage. Look at verse 10. It says, "And Lot lifts up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah." This was, that's just a little note that Moses puts in. "Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar." So Lot lifts his eyes and he looks both ways and he sees one side of the land is lush and it would be great for his animals. And it looks like the garden of the Lord. And he makes the choice himself. Now this is the key. It's in verse 11. "Then Lot chose himself all the plain of Jordan." It doesn't say that Lot sought the Lord with the choice. Oh no, Lot hadn't learnt the lessons in Egypt that Abram had learnt. He hadn't learnt from Uncle Abram's mistakes. Lot chose for himself. He made the decision upon outward appearance. And here's the first terrible decision that we find in this passage. He made a decision based really upon the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Let's face it, that's what he did. The Lord wasn't sought at all. And Lot, he journeys east. He journeys off to the right. And it says, "Thus they," Abram and Lot, "separated from one another." And this was a peaceful solution. And so Abram's attempt for there to be peace in the valley has succeeded at this point. And the two of them have separated. And there's no more division and there's no more friction. And then you get to verse 12. And it says, "Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan." And then we are given this detail that's just terrifying. Because we're going to see that these first steps of backsliding of Lot, they're small steps at first. It's a small step away from the Lord. And they're not really big steps. But these small steps lead Lot and his family away from the Lord. Look at what it says here in the second part of verse 12. It says, "Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom," or he pitched his tent near to Sodom. And he pitches his tent near Sodom, and this is such a poor decision. And just to show you just how poor a decision it is, Moses, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he goes on in verse 13, he says, "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." The word wicked here, it means evil. It has so much weight to that word. These people were heavy, vile, corrupt, wicked sinners in Sodom. And the verse also tells us they were sinners before the Lord exceedingly. The people were violators of God's holiness. There was no shame. The sin was out in the street. They paraded it around. They were happy about it. And they were walking the streets just like they do in Belfast in these days. Just like they did a number of weeks ago in Portrush. They're out parading and they're out putting their sin in our streets. And there it was back in the day, literally out in the streets. And then our day with the police service out there getting their cars designed in support of it. And that's where Lot goes to dwell. That's where Lot goes to support. And that's where he brings his family to dwell. Parents, you be careful where you lead your family. You be careful where you take them. Men in this fellowship, you be careful where you bring your wife and family. Because you might recover. but your family might not. And Lot will eventually lose his wife because of this decision he makes. That's how serious this was. And what we have got to learn here is all that glitters is not gold. And making decisions based only on what you can see with your human eyes is not what will lead us to the center of God's will and blessing for your life. Everything in this life, it isn't as lovely as it looks. And the poison of this world so often has an attractive bait hook on it. What, humanly speaking, looked like an excellent choice for Lot, the benefits for his flocks, financially it would have been a great decision, but spiritually it was disastrous. You see, as I said earlier, it's not a sin to have possessions, but it's a sin for your possessions to have you. And that's what Lot's problem was. This is why we must bring our decisions in our life to the Lord. Who will marry, where will live, where will work, where will attend church. We've seen today the marks of a spiritual man. Abram chose to separate from the world. He made a good decision. He got himself away from the sin of Egypt, and he went to the altar and he sacrificed and he worshipped the Lord and he came back to the Lord. He also has the mind of a spiritual man, because when worrying circumstances came, he wasn't selfish, but as he thought about it, he relied on the Lord and he considered his weaker brother, and he didn't act out in conflict, but instead he resolved the conflict. In contrast, we find Lot, who made a poor decision. And we saw the move of a backsliding man. Now finally we need to consider the move of a spiritual man. What does Abram do in the end? Now we want to drop down a few verses here to see this. We're not skipping these verses, we'll come back to them. But I want you to see the way a spiritual man moves. Look at verse 17. He moves where the Lord tells him to. God has spoken to Abram, and the Lord then tells Abram, "Arise and walk through the land in the length and breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." He waits for the Lord and the Lord's guidance. And in verse 18, we're told the move of a spiritual man. The Lord spoken. Then, once the Lord has spoken, then and only then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar to the Lord. Can you see how a spiritual man moves? He waits patiently for the voice of the Lord. I wonder, can you see the contrast between the choices these two men made? Lot lifted his eyes and chose for himself. And Abram waited for God and allowed God to guide his steps. And in these verses from 14 through to 16, God reassures Abram regarding the covenant that he had made with him in Genesis 12, 1 to 3, and also verse 7. And the Lord comes in here and speaks to Abram, who in truth is in a place of difficulty. Like, I mean, in verse 14, as the Lord comes to speak, he's just separated from Lot. And this would have been difficult for Abram to see Lot go in this way. And he's now in the land to which he had been sent by God. And he's there after a deflection on the pathway of faith. He'd gone to Egypt, he's come back, and then there's this difficulty, and he's had to separate from Lot. And in the hour when domestic difficulties have arisen between him and Lot, and it was being necessary for them to separate each other, I'm sure Abram would have been in distress. And God comes and he reassures Abram of his promises. Lift up now thine eyes, he says in verse 14. And look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. God reaffirms what he's promised already. And God said to the man who had chosen not to choose, "Lift up your eyes. You go everywhere you see, it's going to belong to you." And God says, "I've secured all this land for you, Abraham." The teaching in this chapter is so easily seen. We must wait on the Lord in the decisions we make. Man has no final rights in any possessions, first of all, other than those, all that we have is given to us as a gift from God. None of it really belongs to you. All that we own really belongs to the Lord. And the man who by faith leaves the choices of his life to God is the man who finds his way into spiritual possessions of which he cannot be robbed. So God instructs Abram to arise and walk through the land, and that's exactly what he does. And Abram responds just the way you and I need to respond to God's guiding hand, with immediate obedience. And he goes and he builds a new altar in Hebron, and he worships the Lord there. So in this chapter we have Lot's decision, which was self-seeking, Abram's decision, which was self-denying, Lot's decision, which was self-glorifying, Abram's, which was God-glorifying. Lot's decision was based upon the appeal to his physical senses and what he saw. Abram's, by the way God directed him. Lot's decision exposed him to Sodom and sin and sodomy, and great danger came to his soul and his family's soul. Abram's decision placed him exactly where God wanted him, in the fullness of his blessing. And so going into this week, how will you make the decisions that lie ahead? In all decisions we make, we need to be found at the altar of prayer, on our knees and seeking God's direction. But can I say in closing, it would be wrong for me to finish preaching today without saying this. There's one all-important decision that every one of us here in this room today must make. And to make this decision puts you on the right path from now to eternity. And to fail to make this one decision, this all-important decision, is to put yourself towards a lost eternity forever. And that decision is whether to trust Christ as your Savior and repent of your sin or not. And the Lord knows each heart in this room. And it's only the Lord that knows your heart. And the most important decision over any is whether you're trusting Christ as your Savior or not. Can I ask you, have you entered through the narrow gate? Has there been a defining time in your life when you left the darkness of this world and you entered into the light of Christ? When you left this world and entered into the family of God? The Lord Jesus died for you so that you can make that decision. Why not trust him today? Know that every decision in life for every one of us here today, in light of what God's word teaches, oh, that we would seek his face earnestly. Every decision, every choice that we must make. You know, there's a hymn that I think is so appropriate to sing this morning as we close. And it's going to come up on the screen now. It says, "Where he may lead me, I will go." You know, the only way that you're going to know where he's going to lead you is if you're found on your knees and seeking his face for the decisions of life. "Where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so." If you've not learned to trust him in other times of life, in other decisions that you've made, you know, so many can get up and give the testimony of how God was faithful at other times when we waited on him. And that's what this hymn's saying, "For I have learned to trust him." So there's a testimony. If he's done it before, he'll do it again. And I remember 'twas for me that he was slain on Calvary. And the little chorus just says, "Jesus will lead me night and day, and he will lead me all the way." And truly, if we're going to sing as his people that he's the truest friend to us, we ought to place our lives fully in his hands and place all our decisions in his hands today.